is Diana Prevost with Happy Gut Healthy Lives, the summit of how to heal your gut, reduce your stress, optimize your weight, and promote clear thinking. Today, I have Tara Thorne. Tara Thorne is a functional nutritionist and a certified functional nutrition coach. She has also had training from the Institute for Functional Medicine, specifically in hormones, and is an expert at interpreting the Dutch Comprehensive Hormone Test. Welcome, Tara. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I want you to tell everybody your background and how did you get into your field?
Yeah, so quite a while ago, probably back in about 2007, 2008, I started to get interested in health and wellness because I suffered from some anxiety. And, you know, my doctor put me on some antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs, which I didn't want to be on. I thought there must be another way. So that kind of catapulted my interest into health. And I started to read about health and learn more about health. I was actually a freelance writer and I started to write about health. And then I went to school to study nutrition. And then I went to school at the Institute for Functional Medicine and I focused on hormones, you know, and whilst I was doing all this, I was having babies and burning myself out, unknown to me. So that's kind of what propelled me into this direction is, you know, mental health and my desire to not be on any kind of medication. And then, you know, burning out and hoping that I can help other women avoid that kind of burnout because it is preventable. So that's kind of, you know, what led me into all of this. And I just continue to study and I'm a forever student, always studying something new. And I just love it.
What's your greatest passion in helping people?
Well, my greatest passion would definitely be helping mums be able to avoid burnout. And helping people with their mental health, I think. Because it's something I personally have experienced, both of those things. And I know that there's so much we can do from a health perspective to avoid those things or correct those things. So, you know, if I can help a woman who's really at the end of her rope and fried and frazzled, maybe depressed or anxious, maybe postpartum, having issues with postpartum depression or anxiety, if I can help her to overcome that and to become happy and content and to alleviate her symptoms, then that makes me incredibly happy.
That's awesome. As you know, this summit is about gut health. What have you found to be the leading problems for people having digestive issues as well as the brain-gut connection?
So to be honest, gut health is my biggest passion because at the end of the day, everything to do with our health really stems from our gut, including our mental health. So when we look at the gut, we can actually see, well, 35 neurotransmitters are actually in the gut and communicating all the time. So, for example, butyrate is a species of beneficial gut bacteria, which can actually reduce anxiety and depression. But when we have dysbiosis, so that's an imbalance of good and bad bacteria in the gut, or a leaky gut, then butyrate can be reduced. So, you know, that's one way that our gut health can affect our mood. You know, our gut has been called the second brain for a reason. Another thing that we can see is if people have a C. diff infection, this can cause a lot of mental health issues because it blocks an enzyme that in short we call DBH. And then you can end up with too much dopamine. And this can cause anxiety or OCD types of behavior because dopamine is an excitatory neurotransmitter. Gut health and mental health are intricately connected. And I don't think people are quite aware of that enough. When we, you know, when we look at the gut and we reduce inflammation and we reduce leaky gut and we increase beneficial bacteria and we get rid of things that could be stressing the body out, such as parasites or yeast or fungi or worms, this can make a huge improvement, not just to our mental health, but to our health in general, because gut health really is, I'm sure you've heard this many times on this summit already, but gut health really is the foundation of, in my opinion, every health condition. You know, you can link it to pretty much everything.
You know, it's amazing. All of these speakers can speak from their own perspectives. And even though we're talking about the same thing, everyone brings something new to the table, which you just did in the last 5 minutes, which is awesome. What are two tests every woman should run for their health?
So the two tests that I suggest every woman run for their health include a test called the Dutch test, which stands for dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. And that's a hormone panel. And that hormone panel is a urine hormone panel, which gives you pretty much every reading you can get for your hormone. So for example, if you did a blood test or a saliva test, you're not going to get all the things that you get on this Dutch test. So that's why I love the Dutch test for your hormones, because we don't leave anything out. So we get the full picture. And if you don't have the full picture, you can actually make matters worse if you suggest, say, a particular supplement and it actually doesn't do what you think it's going to do because you didn't get the full picture. So I believe every woman should do a Dutch test at some point. I think every woman should do a Dutch test at multiple points in their lives, but especially coming up to menopause, in perimenopause, around these stages, it's really important to help you have a smoother transition into menopause. The other test is called a GI map, and that is by far my favorite test because it's a gut test. So it's a stool test. It looks at what's going on inside your gut, and we can see whether there are parasites, whether there's yeast, fungi. We can see if there are worms. We can see if there's dysbiosis. What's the normal bacteria looking like? What's the opportunistic, quote-unquote, bad bacteria looking like? What are your digestive markers looking like? So pancreatic enzyme function, immune function, inflammation, lots of different things we can see on that GI map. And in my opinion, that is a must for every single person, probably, quite frankly, even before the Dutch test, but definitely in sync with doing the Dutch test, because what we now know is that the gut is actually an endocrine organ. So the gut actually plays a huge role in the production and the elimination of hormones. So, you know, a lot of people come to me and they say, I want to balance my hormones. I want to do a Dutch test. And I say to them, great, we can do a Dutch test, but you also need to do a GI map. Because if the Dutch test comes back with something that is out of whack, where do we look? The gut. We have to go to the gut. So, for example, if your estrogen is really, really high, you know, we don't know why your estrogen is high. But if we go to the gut, we might see an enzyme on that GI map that's really high called beta-glucuronidase. And that beta-glucuronidase has a way of recirculating used up harmful estrogen back into the body. So there's one of our answers, you know. Yeah, that's the test that I love the most, the GI map. But when those two are done together, you can really get an excellent picture of what's going on with someone's health.
So let's just explore the GI map for a second. I have a 27-year-old daughter. You know, she has a lot of stress at her job. So obviously this affects the gut with all the stress and the cortisol that we produce. What is a good framework for the young adults out there, you know, to kind of gauge when they should be doing some type of a GI map for themselves? What are some of the early indicators that they think that, gosh, maybe there is something wrong?
Well, I can tell you some of the symptoms, and I'll go through a few of the symptoms that might be happening. And if these are happening to you, you definitely should do a GI map. But remember, you can be asymptomatic. You could have no gut symptoms, for example, but you might still have, for example, H. pylori or a parasite. So you don't have to have symptoms to have issues with your gut. And in this day and age, the world that we live in a chemical soup. We're surrounded by unhealthy food that's hard to resist. We take a lot of antibiotics. We take a lot of other drugs like antidepressants or anti-anxiety drugs. We're under a lot of stress. These kind of things are all going to impact your gut microbiome. So just because you don't have symptoms doesn't mean you shouldn't do a GI map. But some of the symptoms that you may have, which indicate you really should do a GI map, could be things like a deficiency of B12 and iron, could be things like fatigue, could be things like gas, burping, feeling bloated, bad breath, any kind of skin issues, acne, rosacea, hives. If you have undigested food in your stool, if you get nausea, if you have diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, you know, acid reflux, if you have issues with your weight, mood issues. These are things that, you know, if you have frequent yeast infections, if you have an autoimmune disease, these are all reasons why you should do a GI map.
I think everyone's going to run out there now and have one just because
they should.
That's right. So how do they get access to a GI map?
Well, you have to work with a professional who can get you a GI map and who knows how to interpret it. So somebody like myself, or a functional medicine doctor, a functional health practitioner. They can't just go direct to the lab and get it themselves. And what's more is you wouldn't even know how to interpret it. So you need to work with somebody who knows how to interpret it.
Right. So what foods can we eat to support our gut?
Oh, yeah. So when it comes to your gut and food, the number one rule is to eat as many vegetables as you can. So you want to aim for about 8 servings of vegetables per day. And the only way you're going to do that is by starting at breakfast. So aim for 8 serves of fruit and vegetables, but primarily vegetables, because this produce feeds our good gut bacteria. That's one of the best things you can possibly do for your gut health, is eat a whack of vegetables and reduce processed foods, reduce refined sugars. Now, you can also consume fermented foods as well. They are definitely incredibly beneficial for your gut health, and as is bone broth. But the only caveat there is if you have an issue with histamine, which a lot of people do. So if you have an issue with histamine, you may not do so well with the fermented foods and with the bone broth. In that case, you may just want to leave them out and just concentrate on having enough vegetables and completely eliminating processed foods, refined foods, sugar, coffee, dairy, what else? I was going to say something else. But yeah, definitely avoiding all of those processed foods. Alcohol, definitely avoiding alcohol. That's going to create dysbiosis in the gut, imbalance of good and bad bacteria. So, eliminate those foods and concentrate on the fruits and the vegetables, primarily the vegetables and the fermented foods. And that's going to be one of the best things you can do from a diet standpoint for your gut.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are unaware about what you touched on about histamines. What types of reactions, if someone is intolerant to histamine, what would they experience?
Yeah, so you would have problems with your skin, itching, redness, flushing, spots, rashes, eczema, hives. Maybe you get diarrhea often, bloating, stomach aches, nausea, vomiting, acid reflux issues, allergy symptoms, hay fever, frequent sneezing, running nose, running eyes, asthma, low blood pressure, and dizziness, vertigo, fainting, those kind of symptoms. If you've ever had anaphylaxis, could be a symptom. You have a histamine issue, painful periods and PMS, migraines before your period, mood issues before your period are heavily linked to histamine, urinary tract infections, maybe issues falling asleep. These are all the symptoms that you want to look out for. If you have just one of these symptoms, you very well could have a histamine problem. And that's something you really want to get on top of for optimal health.
Would the GI map be able to discover that if you had a histamine problem?
So the GI map can definitely show if there's some dysbiosis and what kind of bacteria are out of balance, which can definitely give us some clues. But really, when it comes to histamine, going by symptoms is one of the best things that you can really do.
Mm-hmm. That's very informative. What do you keep in your kitchen?
Well, my kitchen is completely gluten-free. So, we don't often consume bread or bagels or anything like that. That's very rare. Sometimes I'll buy some gluten-free ones because my husband does like a bit of bread here and there to my kids, but it's very rare that we'll even bring that into the house. But everything we have is gluten-free. The majority of food now, fridges, fruits and vegetables, bone broth. We definitely have some clean ingredient like pasta sauce just for those busy nights. And you can just throw together a quick pasta with gluten-free pasta or legume pasta. That's one of my favorites. I have a lot of like chickpea pasta and lentil pasta. Grass-fed meats as well. We have grass-fed beef. We have halibut, salmon, lots of healthy fats, avocado, coconut oil, avocado oil, all the good stuff.
So do you cook with olive oil at all?
Yeah, I do cook with olive oil. I usually just cook on low heat with olive oil. And for the higher heat cooking, I'll use ghee or I'll use butter or I'll use avocado oil or coconut oil.
You wrote a post on sweetness. What can you say about what people should look for?
So when it comes to sweeteners, I definitely suggest that you stay away from all the artificial sweeteners because they have been shown to cause insulin issues and metabolic dysfunction. It's something to do with the way that when we actually taste sweet, our body revs up to sweet, but then it never receives that energy. So it can really mess with our metabolic health. So staying away from those artificial sweeteners, they can also disrupt the microbiome. So instead, I always suggest that you go for natural sweeteners. So things like raw honey, maple syrup, molasses. These are the kind of sweeteners that I always suggest. Do you want to go for the real deal? Because quite frankly, you can't trick Mother Nature. And if you try, it'll often backfire. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of these zero calorie sweeteners. Even things like stevia. I'm not a fan of stevia. If you consume it every once in a while, it's probably fine. But if you're the kind of person who's using stevia to sweeten everything you consume that is sweet, so if you're having, you know, muffins and fat bombs and smoothies and all of these sweet things, you're using stevia on a daily basis, I think that that's a big problem because stevia actually contains these compounds that can potentially act as mutagens in the body. They also have a hormone-like structure which can mess with our own hormone communication system. And stevia has also been used as an anti-fertility agent, and it's been actually shown to have contraceptive effects in men and women. So stevia I'm not a fan of. I'm just not a fan of these zero-calorie sweeteners. I think we do our body a great disservice by trying to trick it, and instead we should just have very moderate, small amounts of the real deal. You know, date sugar, dates, blackstrap molasses, honey, maple syrup. Those are my favorite sweeteners.
And that's really interesting about the infertility. The other thing that I didn't touch on earlier, do you have a large percentage of women that are coming to you that are experiencing weight problems and they're going to the gym and they are trying to diet, but they're just not headed in the direction that they want?
Yeah, absolutely. It happens to a lot of women. And there's a lot of reasons. There's many different reasons why they may not be seeing the weight loss. So it could be a hormonal imbalance. It could be a thyroid issue. It could be an estrogen issue. So there could be a hormone issue going on. It could be an insulin issue and they're pumping, you know, out their workouts at the gym, but they're not losing weight or they're gaining weight because they're pumping out cortisol and hence they're pumping out insulin, and insulin's our fat storage hormone. They need to work on their adrenal health if that's the case. But it could be gut health as well. So we do know that there are some strains of bacteria called Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes. And this bacteria, we've seen that obese people have more Firmicutes and less Bacteroidetes. So that is actually something we can see on a GI map as well. Additionally, toxins that are produced from eating a standard American diet can actually leach out of a leaky gut. So if you've got a leaky gut, these toxins can leach out of the gut into the bloodstream, and what happens is they latch onto these two immune cells, stimulating them to produce inflammatory molecules, which downregulate our metabolism. They produce inflammation, which produces insulin resistance. It can lead to fatty liver and obesity. So your gut is imperative. Gut health is imperative when it comes to your weight. And I don't think a lot of people realize this. And there have been many studies that show that a leaky gut coexists alongside obesity and metabolic syndrome. You know, your gut health, your gut bacteria can also impact the way you crave things. So for example, if you have an overgrowth of candida, you may find yourself craving bread and alcohol and cookies and cakes. And that's that bacteria making you crave these things. These bacteria are opportunistic and they will do whatever it takes to survive. And we also know that when you put the gut bacteria, so there was a study done, and it put the gut bacteria from an obese individual into lean mice and a lean individual into the lean mice. And they didn't change the mice diet or exercise or anything. And they found that the mouse that got the obese individual's bacteria became obese, and the mouse that got the lean individual's bacteria stayed lean. So we do know that gut bacteria really can have a huge impact on your ability to lose weight.
Wow, that's really wild.
Yeah, I know. Fascinating.
You're so interesting. What are you working on now?
So at the moment, what I'm working on is a membership site, actually. it's called the Healthy Mama Hive. It's going to be opening very soon. It's where women can come and be part of a supportive community where I am to coach them through their health journey. And I say health and happiness because, you know, the two go hand in hand and we can't forget mental health, and where they have an opportunity to do these tests and to get my expertise in interpreting the tests for them and developing protocols. So that's my thing that I'm working on at the moment that's launching very soon.
And Tara, how many years have you been doing this?
Well, I've been fascinated with health since I would say 2008. And I really started to get serious about it. Gosh, must have been around 2014 or so. But yeah, so it's been a while now, but I've been writing in the health space since 2008. I've been doing a lot of different writing and all about health and wellness and studying it. And to be honest, I think I've been interested in health since I was quite little, but it didn't really peak until I had that little catalyst around 2007, 2008.
It was due to your own health issue that you were searching for answers, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
The reason why I bring this up is I want to remind everyone that there's hope out there. I mean, you're not going to be an expert overnight. If you have these symptoms, you have to do the research. And then, you know, you have to find someone like Tara that can actually help you, because as you walk around in the dark day to day, and then the other things that you don't know that are affecting you are just going to exacerbate over time. So what are the steps would you suggest for people in ways to be able to contact you and, you know, as you start your new journey?
Mm-hmm. So people can go to my website, which is tarathornnutrition.com. So they can contact me through my website. You can see my social media links on my website. I have a page on Facebook. You know, it's Tara Thorne Nutrition. You can find me on Instagram, Tara Thorne Nutrition. But yeah, if you just remember Tara Thorne Nutrition, you should be able to find me everywhere, and you should be able to find my website.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add for everyone out there that might need to take the first steps?
I think the only thing I would like to add is that, like you said, there is hope. And if you're suffering with any kind of health symptom, whether it's severe or whether it's not as severe, there is always hope. But you have to get to the root cause. Because if you're just doing a band-aid solution like hormone replacement therapy, like obviously a drug, you know, these things are not long-lasting and your symptoms will not resolve. So you have to get to the root cause. And the other thing that I like to say is don't DIY your health. You know, it is great to get information, and I think everyone should listen to summits like these and read information online, but it's hard to know who a trusted source is. So becoming informed is crucial. You should always be an advocate for your own health. And I always tell my clients, don't just accept your doctor's response that your blood tests are normal. Demand a copy and keep a copy, and you know, always make sure that you're looking at your blood tests as well. So being an advocate for your own health, doing your own research is crucially important, but really don't DIY your health. If you've got a health condition, make sure that you find somebody who can help you with that, because it's complicated stuff, but it can really help you out. You know, if you look at that root cause, it can really help.
And the only thing that I thought about as you were going through the list of symptoms is that anyone that's listening today, if you feel like you're experiencing some of these symptoms, start to journal on a calendar and see, you know, when is it happening? Is it happening before my period, or is it happening all through the month? Mm-hmm. You know, things, stressors could be happening in your life that have changed. Maybe you've stepped into a new role in your job, so it's really affected your gut. And then you have to really acclimate the things you could tolerate before with ease. That may not be able to be the same case now. So and I'm speaking to a lot of the young listeners out there that your gut over time takes a lot of abuse, and it will talk back. Trust me. I've experienced it. But thank you so much for being here today. And please, everyone, Tara Thorne, all you have to do is Google her name, Functional Nutritionist, and you will find her. And I really want to thank you again for your time and all the information that you shared.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And we will be back tomorrow for another episode of Happy Gut, Healthy Life. Take care.